Welcome to episode 110 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. Hey, we're not that old yet. Hey, joining me this week is Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah. Gamma tag Chin Chinny. PlayStation Network tag Chinny 1995. I don't have any room on my friends list on my Xbox. But if you want to add me on my Blu-ray player, sorry, PS3, feel free. Chinny 1995.
Yeah, that's just because you're so popular. You know, you're a star. You're a star.
One likes to be humble about these things, Greg.
Yeah. No, I suppose I should introduce myself, too. I am Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. The Greg DeLacy. You have to spell that correctly, Mr. Primrose. So joining us, Mr. Primrose, Richard Primrose. Often known as Sleepy.
Skodogra, wide awake, just had a coffee, job done.
Beautiful.
Game on.
And last but not least, never least, Mr. Chris Matthew.
I'm not appreciating your implication there, Greg. I realize I am a large man, but that's just rude. That's all I'm saying. Hello, everyone. Chris Matthew, CPM1376 on Xbox Live, CP Matthew pretty much everywhere else. And as I have discovered just this evening, I am a Twitter noob. Somehow I managed to @reply myself, which is a neat trick. So don't do that because it has something to do with crossing the streams and exploding, you know, what do they call it in Ghostbusters? Total protonic reversal. That would be bad.
It's a bad thing. Yeah. Definitely bad.
Definitely a bad thing. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I get my boxer shorts at Kmart, 400 Oak Street, Cincinnati.
I go back and watch Wafna.
Wafna comes on at 4.
Hey, podcast, video games. That's what we do.
Yeah. Computer games, yeah.
You mean we don't talk about Rain Man?
No, we don't talk about Rain Man. Occasionally we do talk about movies, but I don't think we're talking about that this week. It is video games. So maybe we should delve into what we've been playing. That was just wonderful. I love the sound of her voice. Just got to say. Yeah. If only she were not somebody else's girlfriend, I would make more comments. But alas, she is. Hey, Mike, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Homefront.
Yes, you have.
For 10 minutes and finished it twice. Come on. Homefront is a short game, everybody. It's a short first-person shooter, okay? But I believe that it's as long as it needs to be. When it finished, I felt like, okay, it's not worth the money. I wouldn't recommend anyone pay full price for it, even with the multiplayer. But it's a good first-person shooter. I like it. I really think that every level in the game is interesting. You played it, Greg.
Yeah, I thought they did some good things.
So the levels in there are so much fun to play. You know, like, you know, you're shooting people in a Hooters bar and all this, and in a supermarket, and you're on the a famous bridge, which I won't spoil. But you know, it's a great game, a great setting, and it's not perfect. It doesn't feel great sometimes. You know, it's not as polished as a Call of Duty, but I admire it. I think it's a great little game, I think there will be a Homefront 2. I think it's strong enough.
So, yeah, I definitely really think they will bring home a Homefront 2. Yeah.
Like it. And I played the multiplayer with you, Greg.
Let's talk about the multiplayer, Mike.
The multiplayer is, I was very impressed with it because I've been playing the single player for quite a while. And it took me 3 hours and 35 minutes to finish on normal without skipping any cutscenes, playing it, you know, normally. I wasn't rushing or anything. And that's right, I told myself, big whoop, when I thought about it. So, I played the multiplayer with you, Greg, the first time, and I was shocked at how fluid it felt. The controls, it just seems a little bit, you know, quicker and more responsive to what I was saying, putting into the control there, and I don't know, I felt like I had more control over my character, over the guns and, you know, the Twitch controls and all that.
Yeah. I would say the multiplayer definitely plays smoother and faster than the single player.
Which is weird.
Yeah, and I wonder if part of that is maybe just because in the single player, you're constantly kind of having the immersion broken up and with, you know, the need to wait for AI characters, that kind of thing. Maybe that is a part of what you see.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you see the frame rate suffer in a single player game. So maybe, sure. Like, it's just there's so many things going on. I honestly think the people who made this, they came from modders of Battlefield maps. That's what they're, let's say they got made and then they made Frontloids. So their bread and butter is multiplayer. You know, they know how to do it. And from what I play with you, Greg, it's a great multiplayer. I was having a blast playing it. I think it's brilliant. And Skullduggar, you know, we was saying that, you know, he bought the online pass. I think I might have to because it's not my copy of Homefront, but I think I will. Because it's great.
Yeah, it's a multiplayer. Definitely is fun.
It's an arcade Battlefield. I think that's a very good way of putting it. It's a simple Battlefield game.
Yeah,
you know, and it works and it's not too complicated. There's not too much going on, and it feeds you enough information when you start. And
they've got just enough on the collectible side. I mean, it's deep. I mean, it goes to level 75, and once you get to right around level 10, you don't start leveling up nearly as fast as you were.
No,
but
it's great. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm going to carry on playing the multiplayer. I think, Greg, you're playing it on hard, right? You're going to play it on hard?
I just started going back into the single player to I believe it's Gorilla is what they're calling their kind of hardcore level.
Yeah, I haven't decided that. I did play it for it again to get the don't die in the whole game achievements. Like each level, if you don't die, you get an achievement for it, which is pretty easy on easy. And I just wanted to go through it again because I enjoyed it so much. And it's not very long, so why not?
Yeah.
So I enjoyed Homefront. I liked it. I've also been playing two very, very old games. Well, one's very, very old. One is called Alex the Kid.
I've heard of Alex the Kid. I never played it, but definitely.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Alex the Kid was the game that came with the Master System.
Okay.
Now, I was around a friend's house. Right. And he found his Master System. He was clearing out a few things, and he found his Master System. So the first thing we did was, let's set it up and abandon all this clearing up we're doing. Right, so we did that, and we had to tune it in, the TV, remember that? We did that, and we found it, and played Alex the Kid. And my God, these kids don't know how good they have it. Because you only have three lives throughout the whole game, and the game is brutally hard. And there's this toad thing at the first level in the sea, and he just kept on blowing bubbles at me, and I kept on dying. I thought bubbles would help you underwater, but no, they kill you in Alex the Kid. I thought it was interesting to see how far things have come, and they have come. Because I remember playing that before I used to go to school.
Right.
Because it wasn't mine, I borrowed it off my friend, and I remember thinking it was the best thing ever, and I played it recently. I was like, man, how did I even get through? Because I couldn't get to the third level. Because at the end of the second level, you have to do this paper, rock, scissor thing. All right, and I was like, I could never do it. And I was like, how did I do this when I was like 10? How did I do it?
Hey, so, Mike.
Whatever. Yes.
Is you're better off if she's still up in the northeast, Middlesbrough?
Yes.
If you drive about 40 minutes north to a place called Ashington, mm-hmm. They have a museum there, and at the minute, they're currently doing a video gaming museum exhibition.
Wow. That's
and
cool.
it's every single generation of console, and you can go around and play them. They've got games on them.
Cool. That's pretty good. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I think somebody like Big Bad Daddy would like that. I think he enjoys the retros. Big Daddy Blast, the daddy, I don't know, all these daddies. Stu and Rich would enjoy that. I'm not much of a retro gamer, you know, but I just thought it was enjoyable to go back. Talking of old game, go on, Greg, sorry.
I was just going to say, one of the things I think people kind of get lost in translation with truly retro games like you're playing with Alex the Kid, I mean, that came from a time and a generation when video games were designed first and foremost for cabinets. Console gaming was just kind of getting its you know, kind of feet underneath it. And so all the games were still geared towards being these quarter sucking down, you know, kind of experiences.
Yeah.
And so they were bona fidely hard because they were meant to grab a quarter at a time instead of being something you paid $60 up front for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. It's definitely interesting going back and seeing how those games play versus what we see now.
And yeah, like those types of games now, it's just infinite restarts. Like Super Meat Boy is probably the closest thing now. And the point of it is, yes, that it's ridiculously hard, but you can just keep going and keep going and keep going. Like M Plus was like that as well. And maybe I like those games because I played Alex the Kid when I was young, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't have the patience to kind of like die and go all the way back to the start.
Jet Set Willy. That was my movie game.
No, I'm not a big Jet Set Willy fan, but I think Stu.
Oh. Horror of a game.
Yeah. All right, so Mike, there's one more game on your list.
Yeah, I'll be playing another game that is on the 360, but it came out like pretty much like I don't know if it was a launch title. I doubt it was a launch title, but it was very early on, which is Hitman Blood Money. I've been playing that because there's a new Hitman coming out, and I've never played this one. And
it's one of my favorite games. Just want to throw that out there. One of my all-time favorite games.
I will say that it holds up. It does hold up. You know, like, graphically, of course, it's not the best, right? It's okay. It's fine. It does hold up, though. It's still got the kind of feel of a Hitman. You know, like you feel like a Hitman.
Okay.
But the tutorial mission, I was struggling with the tutorial mission because...
Really?
Because I didn't realize you had to press... Like, tutorials have come on so much now because you just expect them to pop up. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bit where I had to distract these guards and I didn't know how to do it. And I was like, well... And then I found out I had a coin and then I found out I could throw the coin. But man, that process of finding that out was unbelievably difficult. Then I realized all you have to do is press, when you got like an exclamation point, you just press the back button and it tells you what to do. And I just expect to be told now. I don't need to press a button to be told what to do. You know, I feel like a king or something. Someone wiped my ass. It's like, come on. But
you've just been playing a game where a bloke's got follow over his head all the way through it. So
true, yeah. And I got an echo. Can anybody hear that echo?
No.
A little bit?
No.
Minor.
Okay. It's weird. All right, so, yeah, I mean, the follow thing on Homefront, you know, when you follow a character and it's got the words follow, you know, literally over his head all the time. I played Black Ops recently. It has the same thing. Why are people getting arsy about that?
I've noticed it. It might be a bit more subtle.
I played Black Ops recently to kind of run through it, and it has exactly the same thing. Follow over the person you have to follow. But Homefront gets shit for it. I just thought that was weird. So, anyway... yeah, Hitman is good. Yeah, it is good. And the controls are dated. I think when I played Beyond Good and Evil, I said that the controls were dated. They're very old-fashioned controls. And Hitman feel the same. Like, you don't press the right trigger to strangle someone. You kind of release it. And it's weird things like that. And there's no aiming down your sights or anything. It's strange. But it's still good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Got Hitman. I'll play it to the end. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good deal. Okay. Well, Mr. Matthew, why don't we fire you up next?
Well, I have a pretty short list of games this week. I've been continuing to play Two Worlds 2, for which I owe an open apology to the gaming community and the internet at large. because while the game is not terrible, I decided to hold off on Dragon Age 2 until the price came down, which by itself seems like a reasonable decision. It's a single-player game, right? The experience is going to be the same whether people are playing or not. But I then turned around, and for more money than it would have cost me to buy Dragon Age, I bought Two Worlds 2, which I'm sure is a far inferior product. So I was just realizing what a stupid decision that was. I mean, Two Worlds 2 is all right. I'm kind of getting into it. I'm kind of enjoying the crafting system.
Really?
Not so much. It's okay. It's not great. It's okay.
Making stuff. You enjoy making stuff.
Well, it's a lot like, it's got, you know, Oblivion had that. Fallout 3 had that. Fallout New Vegas had that.
You know what I didn't do in Fallout 3? Make stuff because it was boring.
See, I thought that was one of the, like, one of the things I really liked when Fallout 3 was going around and finding all the weapon components, because then I could, now what I am disappointed at, so in Fallout 3, you know, you found all those weapon schematics, and then one, you had some really awesome things, like the nuke grenade and the dart gun were awesome.
And look, the lunchbox mine.
And the bottle cap mines were also really good. You know, the rest of them I could kind of do without, but they were great ways to make money. So that was what made that interesting. What I'm kind of disappointed with is, like, as I'm experimenting with potions and stuff, the purchasing system in the game is so lopsided. Like, I get 100 pieces of gold for selling a skill book, but buying a skill book is 10,000 pieces of gold. I'm like, really? You know? So that's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, it's okay. It's not great. It's okay. I'm kind of – the combat is still a little sketchy. The enemies are really dumb.
Yes, the enemies are exceptionally dumb.
I was going through this one maze the other day, and there were these mummies. And all I had to do was run around until the mummies got stuck on the terrain, and then I could stand there and shoot them with arrows to my heart's content.
No, my favorite, Chris, is you'll come up on – I can't remember. They're Vern, I think.
Varns, yeah.
The Varns, and they always seem to be facing the wrong way.
Yeah.
Especially like the guards that are supposed to be guarding the camp as you come up on it. And yeah. So, yeah.
I'm not very good at the stealth in the game because I'm just not. But what I've discovered is I've got the distraction arrow thing where you shoot the arrow and when it hits the ground, it makes this big fake monster that all the bad guys go attack. So that's really cool. You can get them all running the wrong way, and then you can shoot them with arrows. And
I didn't even know that existed. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. So you shoot this arrow, and a big monster appears, and all the enemies go attack the big monster. And so while they're attacking the big monster, you can either run away, or you can shoot them, or do whatever.
Right.
And then after a certain amount of time, the big monster explodes and does some damage to them. So that's pretty clever. Little, like, the archery skills are actually pretty cool in this game. Like Oblivion, I was never all that bothered with archery because it was like, all right, I'm shooting arrows, whatever. But there's not much difference between the archery skills and the magic skills in this one because you have the fire arrow, the ice arrow, the thunder arrow, you know, all this other stuff. So it's all right.
You know, one thing before we move on to the next game, the one thing that I can say Two Worlds 2 is vastly different from, aside from quality, in terms of Dragon Age 2, is the feel of how big the world is. Two Worlds 2 is massive.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
And Dragon Age 2, I guarantee you will feel like you basically have three areas to go to, and even that is not really the case.
Well, Dragon Age Origins wasn't even really that big. Right. There were a lot of areas to go to, but most of them were kind of like where you could actually run to was kind of confined.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little, and I mentioned this from playing the Dragon Age demo. I was a little disappointed with the blandness of the environment as compared to Dragon Age Origins.
Right.
And one thing that Two Worlds 2 does get right is the environment has a lot of detail to it.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You know, when you're in the high desert or whatever, you feel like you're in the high desert with the everything. So it's cool. It's okay.
All right.
And then I played the Mass Effect 2, the latest and apparently last Mass Effect 2 DLC.
The Arrival, is it? That one?
The Arrival. It was fun. But, man, it was short.
Really? I think that's what I heard.
I played it up to a certain part, and then I just started getting owned. And I was like, what is going on? And then I noticed I had it set to insanity difficulty. I was like, oh, that explains it. So I turned it down to hardcore difficulty, and I was able to proceed. But aside from that, it only took me a total of, I think, about 2 hours, if that, to finish it.
That is short.
And that was with starting over once because I made a mistake. So there's three achievements for the DLC, and I figured, well, I may as well, two of them you get just for finishing it, and the other one was I'm sorry, you don't get just for finishing it. You get one for finishing it, and then the other two you got to do something special. So the first one is you have to go on this rescue mission, and they sort of interject this stealth gameplay to it. So that's why you go in alone without your squad, because you actually have to sneak around for a little while.
Okay.
It's pretty easy. Like, it's pretty obvious where you need to go in order to not get found.
Got it.
You know, there's not the patrolling guards and climbing around and doing all the crazy platforming that Assassin's Creed requires you to do to get through somewhere undetected. But you get an achievement for getting all the way to the person you're supposed to rescue without getting caught. Then there's a couple of, you know, defend this place missions or segments. And there's one spot where you can either, you know, as spoiler free as I can make it, it doesn't matter if you live or die in this particular section of the game, but you get an achievement if you make it through the whole defense.
Okay.
And then you get one for finishing it.
Okay.
I mean, it was all right. It was kind of interesting. It was a little bit of a letdown in that I was kind of hoping to see, like, you know, like the end of it was going to be the big cliffhanger. Like, here are the Reapers, and now everybody knows, and oh God, and now we're ready for Mass Effect 3. They didn't really give you that.
That's disappointing, because I thought exactly like you. That was what it was going to be.
You know, it would have been awesome if it would have ended with Shepard staring down a Reaper or something, you know, but it didn't. Yeah. So that's a spoiler. I'm sorry.
That's so okay. Would you still? I mean, I haven't bought any of the DLCs yet. So would you still recommend this one as the?
If it's still only 560 points, then I probably would go for it, because it was 560 when I bought it.
I think it's 560 normal. So yeah, you may actually get it cheaper on a deal, Mike.
Yeah, I might. You might wait and see when it goes on sale for half price or whatever. I would definitely play the Shadow Broker DLC first. And what was the other one we said was good? There were two of them. I've forgotten what they all are. But Shadow Broker, I think, was definitely the best of the lot.
Yeah,
so far.
That's the most expensive one as well. So 800, isn't it?
I believe it was 800.
Yes.
But worth it?
Yes.
Worth it.
Because that one actually had a bit of length to it. Because you had to do some kind of going around. You had to do some going around asking questions type, you know, conversation missions. And then there was some combat and some more searching around and some more combat. It was a nice...
So it was the DLC they actually cared about when they made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one they tried with. I'm just trying to find the name of it. Shadow Broker is the one that you recommend, right?
Yes.
What is it?
All right. Well, let's move on. Mike, real quick, I think you had a follow-up you wanted to touch base on with regards to Homefront.
Yes. I've also been reading the Homefront book, which was sent to me by Titan Books Publishing UK. They're very nicely passed it on to me, and I've been reading that, and it's a prequel to the game.
So it's kind of the setup for the invasion, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it starts before. Well, it actually with a prologue of, like, you know, during like the craziness, and then when it kicks into the story, it's actually before Korea invaded. I don't know if he's in the main game, but you're kind of following a guy called Walker. Yeah, I don't think so. But he does come across the person who you play in Homefront, which is Jacobs or something.
Okay.
He does come across him, so he does talk to him. But I don't know how often that's going to be, or if that's just a quick, like, hey, look, that's that guy you're going to play in the game. But yeah, I'm not far in, but yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's not bad. It's quite interesting to read up on how it all started. But a lot of the characters in the game are in the book as well. So I'll keep reading that. It's good. So anybody who wants a little bit more of that kind of setting, and I would recommend it so far.
All right. Mr. Primrose.
Yes.
I don't know. I think you were indicating your list was a little on the short side this week.
Yeah, it's nothing to see here. Move along.
Nothing to see here. Move along. No. You've been working around the clock.
I've got Bulletstorm in the post. That's as much as I've got to offer. Move on.
All right, moving on. I had kind of a busy week myself gaming. So I'll start with some of the old. Dragon Age 2 and Homefront. Played both those games, which we've gone into detail on, so I'm not going to cover those again. Finished Fight Night Champion and wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
The single player, I should say. You know, it is such a mix of good and bad in my eyes. I liked the overall idea of the single player game and going in and basically playing out kind of a Rocky type movie in the single player. It was refreshing for a fighting game. I liked the way they handled a lot of it, because basically you were watching cutscenes that led into fights, and you'd go fight the fight, and then you'd go to the next cutscene type thing, and there was a kind of an underlying storyline that was happening, and then they would present you every once in a while with some challenges, which I also kind of liked, some unique things that happened that, you know, in a sense kind of, you know, and this is try and keep this spoiler-free as possible, but they basically set up for some interesting things to happen within some of your scheduled fights. So that all went well and good, and then I got to the championship fight.
What, the boss? Got
it. Boss fight, yes. The final fight.
Yep.
And
it's tough.
It is very tough. I was playing it on casual, and it was hard.
Yeah, I played it on the easiest one as well, and I beat him first time. I did beat him first time, but it wasn't easy. It was not easy at all.
I did not beat him first time. And here was, I mean, it was like they took, I'm kind of having a hard time explaining this. Basically, you know, you fight, the fights are usually normal fights. And that's what I went in expecting it. And yet what they do with the final boss fight, if you will, it's not just this really challenging boxer that you have to beat. It is a series of challenges that you have to complete through the course of the fight.
So the next two rounds don't get hit in the face.
Next two rounds don't get hit in the face, or it's you can only get hit in the face so many times, or you lose. Now, on top of this, on top of the fact that you can't, you know, you could only get hit in the face, I think it was 8 times. Yeah. On top of that, you still have the ability to be knocked out by this guy.
Yeah.
So you're basically that whole round, you're just avoiding him, and they actually have you avoiding him for about 5 rounds of the fight, you're supposed to avoid getting hit. Okay, that's not fun gameplay.
No, it's not. I agree.
Boring and frustrating. And
I didn't find it boring.
Well, I found it boring because the only way to avoid getting hit really was circling.
Run away.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're just running in the ring the entire time.
I would say it's boring, but I would say it was a little bit, I don't know, he's monotonous the same as boring. It's a little bit, I felt very uneasy. Like, kind of like, this is, oh, I don't know.
The only saving grace was if
it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun.
If you get through, say so in the game, the first two rounds you have to avoid being hit, and so you spend the first two rounds running around the ring trying to avoid being hit. Once you clear that hurdle, then it's like a save point, a checkpoint. So if you lose in the ensuing rounds, you only go back to that level, which was nice.
Yeah. Sounds like an Audley Harrison fight.
So, I mean, but they do this all the way up until about, I think it's the 8th round, and then it's like, okay, now you can fight and try and beat him.
Yeah.
And to me, it just really artificially made this fight much longer than it should have been, and it absolutely ruined the experience of having this title fight. Because you just don't feel like you're fighting. You feel like you're just creating, you know, you're just doing some challenges, meeting a benchmark, and then waiting and hoping to get to the end of the round. So you
feel good, though, when you got him down at the end. You think, oh, thank God he's down there. You know?
Well, see, for me, it was anticlimactic because it was like, okay, I hit the 8th round. Okay, now I know I'm going to be able to knock him out and win the fight. Up until then, you couldn't do that.
No.
And so, you know, it just, to me, it felt like I was completely handcuffed. So that disappointed me, but I will say
bondage boxing.
The overall single player experience was good, and you know, on a whole, I really liked what they did with this background and doing some of the flashbacks, and then coming to the present day. It was just all very well done, and they had a nice unique twist involving the brothers fight, which I kind of liked. Threw me for a spin at first because I was like, how are they going to pull this off? Yeah. But yeah, so it's well worth looking into. Just don't expect a long experience because it is a very short single player game, and don't expect a really satisfying championship fight.
I didn't mind the championship fight, but
okay,
all your points are absolutely fair, and it's not like I disagree with it, but it just didn't bother me as much.
Okay, that's fair too. I can see that. Yeah. I can totally see that. What I also have done, I have created my multiplayer boxer, Mike. I am ready to get it on.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you right now, I have created a monster. Yeah. I am not creating anybody remotely short or with short arms.
Yeah, because last time
I learned my lesson.
For people that don't know, last time me and Greg went in the boxing ring. Greg tried to make his boxer very realistic, you know, the best same height as he is and weight, and you know, maybe if he was a bit more trained and stuff, he would kind of be this kind of
stuff.
I created the Incredible Hulk. Like, I just created everything maxed. That guy.
Fighters, the top of my head, I think, came to like the top of your chest.
Yeah,
it was not pretty. But
well, what I will say, Fortnite, I have sent it back, but like I could easily get it back. It's not a problem, so we will fight. It's just to get it back.
And okay, so moving on from Fight Night, some more EA love. Shift 2 had some going, rounds with that. I actually did a play date this past Saturday with the gate people, and
How's that going down with the gate?
It's a good racing / arcade simulation game. I mean, it's not a full-on simulation game. It still has a bit of an arcadey feel to it. Controls take a lot of tweaking to get them to feel right, and I still don't feel they are – let's just put it this way. At high speeds, you feel very unstable, and it's unstable because of the control scheme, not because of the car. If that makes any sense. And Chris, I mean, I know you've, in Skull, you've raced, you know, a lot of Forza. When you're into some of the, you know, the beastly cars, I mean, you get them up into the high speeds and it feels fast and you feel like you're in a powerful machine, but you never feel like you're fighting the controls. You feel like maybe you're fighting the car because of how you have it set up.
Yeah. I'll have to look and see if anyone's posted it yet for Shift 2. When I first played Shift 1, the controls were unusable with the game was meant to be played with a wheel. But if you had a gamepad, the controls were pretty much unusable unless you went in and made some changes to the settings by increasing dead zones.
Yes, and that's
and
the
doing
same
a few things.
Yeah, they've done the same thing in this, which I just find disappointing because you know, the majority of people that are going to be playing this game are going to be playing it with a pad. You know, I don't think the vast majority of people out there own racing wheels. They own the gamepad. And the fact that you have to do so much, because you have to do a massive amount of tweaking to the settings to make it feel right for a control pad. And I don't think I've once touched the Forza control pad settings for the actual gamepad.
Yeah.
And so that to me was just it was kind of a big red flag that I was having to do that much tweaking. Now, that said, the game looks great, sounds great. You know, it has a lot in it to offer those that have that kind of simulation type itch. It will play a little more arcadey, and the AI can be a little bit dodgy at times in terms of it'll be a little aggressive. I mean, I've had more than my fair share of AI cars put me into a spin, that kind of thing. But, I mean, overall, it's a really solid racing title. Definitely worth looking at. I don't know that I would have bought this. I'm glad I game-flied it. To me, it just doesn't have enough in the online multiplayer offerings to make it something that I would want to continue to play on a consistent basis. Things like, I mean, just stupid little things that they did again. In the lobby system for multiplayer, there's a timer countdown. And you have 2 minutes between races, and then it automatically starts the next race. And I know they did that in the first one. They're doing it in the second one. I don't get why. Because often we're trying to set up races with certain cars and performance indexes, which they have in the game, but they don't have any way of, other than the class, of limiting it. So you can say D class, and you can have, you know, any range of PI, you know, performance index in that class, which is fine, I guess. But one of the nice things in Forza is you can, you know, manipulate it to really
be. Well, I mean, Forza, you can almost get down to the, you know, two specified, like you can say rear wheel drive only. So Shift 1 had it where you could set it to unlimited or you could set it to maximum PI. So I think what they went from 1 to 20 in Shift 1, right? And so you could say the maximum was 15, and so no one could pick one over 15. Or you had the option of doing what was a manufacturer race. And sometimes the manufacturer races, those are what we usually did on Friday nights, is because then you set the car and everybody has the same car.
Right, and I believe you still can do that because in one of the races I didn't have a car for that class and I ended up having a loaner car based off of the person that set up the race. So, yes. And I mean, that all works, I guess, fine enough. I mean, the multiplayer offering is definitely solid. It didn't seem like it had much lag to it at all. We didn't have any real instances of, you know, seeing a car warping around. There were a couple instances of you heard somebody saying, oh, you just hit me, and the person being like, did I really? I didn't even see you. So, but I've come to expect that in all the racing games. I don't think it's unique to Shift 2. And then the only other thing that I have that was kind of my last little quibble is it offers up a bunch of, like, upgrades for the cars, which I love. I love being able to tweak the cars and make them your own and personalize them. But two things. One, there's a bug where the paint scheme sometimes don't show up in the multiplayer. So you may put on a custom paint scheme, but it won't show up. And then two is that the upgrades themselves don't seem to truly do that much of a performance boost. Like I was noticing like the turbochargers, putting turbochargers onto your car really didn't up the maximum, you know, miles per hour you were going to be able to do within the vehicle. It seemed like it was just very incremental, small increases. So that to me was a little off-putting. I couldn't quite figure out why it didn't seem that they really boosted things that much. You could put everything on the car under the sun and it wouldn't be that big of a change over the performance of the stock car. That could just be a perception thing, though. So, anyway. All right. I think that does it for me. The last thing is I picked up Alien Breed 2 Assault off the old Xbox Live Arcade sale from last week and just started getting into that. This is a fun little arcade twin-stick shooter, so nothing to really talk about there. Anyway, I think it's time we move along to some new releases.
Oh, volume.
All right, new releases this week on the Wii. We've got Remington Super Slam Hunting Alaska. Got Karaoke Revolution Glee Volume 2. And then on the WiiWare front, Planet Fish. And on the old virtual console, Super Bonk.
Ha.
Moving over to the PS3. Big title this week is going to be Star Drone. That's actually, I believe these are all PSN titles, by the way. Red Faction Battlegrounds is supposed to be coming this week, as well as a SOCOM 4 multiplayer beta. I believe that's going public. And then a demo for Russian Attack Expatriate. It's the old PS3. Last but not least, PS3 minis this week, Fish Tank comes out. I can only imagine what that might be. Xbox 360 only sees one retail shelf game this week, which is Carnival Games. Monkey See, Monkey Do. It's a Kinect title, so all of those people with Kinect that have been wanting something new, well, you finally got it. Xbox Live Arcade this week. The dishwasher Vampire Smile comes out. I believe this is the sequel to the first dishwasher game. So it's out now. And then Kinectimals demo comes out this week. Another Xbox Kinect game to test out. So those wanting that tiger experience with Skittles, it's there for you. The big news, if you ask me, is the Battlefield Bad Company 2 deals of the week. And I'm kind of bitter, I gotta admit. Vietnam on sale. 6 points.
I just bought it.
Oh, man.
10 off. Awesome. Kills me. Onslaught mode, 200 points. The shortcut kits and the upgrade bundles are all basically being cut in half. And then Battlefield 1943, only 600 points. Such a great game, and I believe still a lot of people playing it. So, that's your new releases for the week.
Onslaught in Vietnam.
Shut up, Rich. Shut up. Shut up. I haven't finished doing this thing.
It's
So, Rich, you were saying something about Onslaught mode when you were so rudely interrupted by music.
That is buying them two. Vietnam and Onslaught mode for 800 points.
You can't go wrong with that. You really can't. With that. I think I paid 800 points apiece for both of those. Yeah.
And which is Onslaught now? Sorry, I missed that.
200 points.
Really?
And, yeah. It's
200?
You can't.
Oh, I'll get that then.
Yep, we could get some Onslaught going because, Rich, you have it, correct?
That's a great night. Just come
as the eye.
Yeah.
So we all have it now. Cool. Mike, pick it up.
The Overseas Connection can have an Onslaught.
Yes, we can. Yeah. And then Vietnam. I mean, for 600 points, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, Vietnam's great.
I'm considering getting a PC for gaming. I know we're past that.
Well,
but feel free.
There's some great PC games coming up.
For The Witcher 2.
The Witcher 2, not Diablo 3?
I'd have to check it out. I never played Diablo, so I'd have to look into it a little bit more.
Well, think Torchlight, just better. All right, moving on. It's time we talk some news.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wait.
And this is the news of the week.
All right, a lot of news to get through this week, so we will try and attack this as quickly as possible. Speaking of attacking, Mike.
Stephen Toulouse. He's been attacked and hacked and all that jazz. Stephen Toulouse is the... am I reading the wrong thing?
You are. Yeah, it's okay.
No. I didn't see that story.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Okay, guys, shall I stick with this? We'll swap this.
Yeah,
we swap.
Roll with it.
We'll swap
with
it.
Okay, so Stephen Toulouse, head guy of security at Xbox, has been hacksawed. And, yeah, it's apparently by someone from the Anonymous, a famous internet kind of group of people that can hack people.
I'm going to help you out. It's actually Predator, this hacker. Predator.
Well, his name was Predator, but like he's from Anonymous, right?
I believe he might be mixed up with them.
I wouldn't want to accuse him of anything, but apparently Stephen Toulouse says it's nothing for him to worry about because he kind of gets this all the time. And he says information about his account was on his blogging site, and that's kind of how he got into his account, Xbox Live account. And he was doing all sorts of silly things with his Xbox Live account. And
right.
People have said he'd been in contact with him, but he hadn't really. He was just kind of messing around with his account. Stephen Toulouse said he's not worried about it. Because it's an easy fix for him, and he said that other people shouldn't worry about it either.
Right, and then probably one of the funniest things, this guy actually made a video, a YouTube video.
Oh yes, yeah. The video. Yeah,
he was talking about it, and I guess apparently some of the things within the video are actually kind of revealing as to who this person is. But then on top of it, he said that he didn't have any true malicious intent about this, and that this is probably going to be the first and only time that he would do it. But then I guess at the end of the video, he's like, but if you give me money, I'll do it for you. So, yeah. We can only hope that this kind of person doesn't really exist beyond this instance. But sadly, it's not the only time we've heard about hackers this week. So why don't I'll kind of headman this up. So there's a group out there called Anonymous, and this is a very big kind of hacking community. It's very underground, and I guess they took some offense to Sony's attacks, and Sony's legal attacks, I should say, against George Geohots and another hacker by the name of Graf Chocolo. And so basically Anonymous put a public statement out to Sony and said, because you have basically gone and attacked you know, these people within our community, we disagree with your actions and we are going to attack you. And they have indeed begun a series of attacks on Sony-owned website properties to basically bring the sites down. I mean, nothing overtly malicious other than basically making those sites inaccessible to outsiders. So a lot of people that tried to get to, like, the Sony UK site, the Sony UK PlayStation site, couldn't. It just said that, you know, this website is currently experiencing heavy traffic, blah, blah, blah. You know, give you one of those kind of error messages. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say other than certainly we don't condone hacking of any kind. And this kind of malicious behavior certainly is something that we're not going to say is warranted. I will say I think Sony really has to take a deep look at what they're trying to achieve by going after Geohots and just figure out if it really is worth it, because I don't think these are going to stop. These kind of attacks are going to continue against them because they are so publicly going after one of the more infamous / famous, you know, hacker community personalities.
So, what's
it going to do if they back down now? It would just open it up for everybody to have a bash then, wouldn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the right answer to this, to be honest. I mean, yeah, Sony stay the course, but potentially this could be overly damaging to them if these guys really get into some nasty business.
If Sony backs down, Greg, the terrorists win.
Exactly.
Now watch this drive. I think Sony slipped up when they made the PS3 and says, this can't be hacked. Yep. You know, that was their first wrong step right there. Don't say something can't be hacked, Sony, because somebody will find a way.
It certainly opened the doors for everybody to want to try and hack it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they started taking a lot of things away because they thought they were open doors for the hacking.
Yeah.
But I think if maybe Sony can do some kind of public PR spin on this in terms of maybe coming to a settlement agreement with Geohots in terms of, you know, getting this out of the courtroom, getting it out of the public eye, you know, getting him, you know, in a sense to an agreement where
it's not realistic. It's not realistic.
It's absolutely realistic. I don't know what the settlement would be.
He's already been found to be trying to do a run into South America. So he's absolutely crapping his pants at the minute.
True.
They clarified that to do with the law as well, didn't they? So apparently all of this thing about moving it to California is to do with the laws which are set up there and them being better for Sony. So if they get that to go through there, they'll throw the book at him, and they fucking should as well. Sorry.
I mean, what's the settlement? So typically a settlement is when a large corporation has possibly wronged an individual or a group of individuals, and in order to keep it out of the courtroom, said corporation pays these people off. So are Sony going to pay this kid? It's like, you stole from us.
No, I mean, the settlement would be,
is he going to pay them money? Does he have money that Sony cares about?
Well, I think Sony absolutely, you know, is going to want him to, in a sense, publicly and legally agree to not hack the PS3 anymore, you know, in a sense tie it into some legal ramifications to where,
please,
you know, Geohots.
Hack us.
That's all they're
going to get out of this. That's the whole point of this, though, is they're not going to get more than this out of this.
I don't know.
It's a civil lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's a civil lawsuit. So You know, at the end of the day, Sony is seeking monetary damages. That's what this is all about. So I think where Sony has stepped over the line and where it, I guess maybe it's raised the ire of everybody is the fact that they said, okay, well, you need to hand over all of your Twitter contacts, all of your, you know, Hotmail contacts that have ever visited your website, have ever, you know, donated to you, have ever done anything like that. We want their information. And that, to me, that's some dangerous ground. Again, I'm not agreeing with the hacking, but I don't necessarily agree that a corporation should just be able to come in and say, give us all the contact information of any person that's ever possibly been in contact with you because you did something bad. We now can investigate all of them as well.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope. But
I don't know. I don't know. I don't see there being a settlement here.
In the
traditional definition of the settlement.
Yeah. It is a news story that I guess we will just continue to watch. But hey, let's move on. Rich, let's talk about some development on a positive light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Apparently Microsoft have began offering developers a new model of the Xbox dev kit. For those that don't know, because I never knew and I had to look at this story. It's a specifically made console which devs can use, and it carries greater RAM. It has built-in flash drive and also larger capacity on the hard drive to help out the devs when they're creating marvelous new games for us.
Cheaper dev kits.
Yeah, and it's going to be at a very significantly reduced price from its predecessor. So, yeah, if you're a developer and you listen to amateur podcasts like ours, go out and get yourself.
There you go. All right, next story. Mr. Matthew, this was the story for you. It really is.
Yeah, I was really excited when you told me about this. In fact, I almost went out and bought some more Billy Bucks just because of it. Apparently, there is leaked information allegedly popped up on an Australian retail site that everybody's favorite Black Ops game will be getting some more DLC on 3rd May, as you British folks like to call it. So,
Mr. Matthew, you know you're not going to get away with saying Black Ops.
I'm not doing it.
Come on.
No.
The community needs to hear
it. I'm no trick pony. So the DLC includes 5 maps, apparently. A zoo, a hotel, a convoy. I don't know how a convoy is a map, but let's roll with it. A stockpile, and a new locale for the co-op zombie mode, so all you zombie haters can kill some more zombies. It's going to be timed exclusive to Xbox Live, because that's what they do, and that's all. Yeah. So if you like your Black Ops, go get you some new Black Ops maps. Thanks, Greg.
I'm quite interested with that convoy one. Is that going to be a moving map?
No, come on.
I doubt it, but it could be awesome if it was, but yeah, I doubt it. I highly doubt it's a moving map. Maybe the random truck coming through the middle of the map every once in a while, you get caught in the middle and you get run over, kind of like what Gears of War did.
Gears of War, yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
That was a great map.
Hey, who's this?
Primrose.
All right, moving on.
Velcro.
Mike. Yes.
Or as we call it in the Army, hook and pile tape.
Hook and pile tape.
Hook and pile tape.
Let's talk some more Sony news here.
Yeah, it's Ray McGuire, who's been at the company for 17 years, apparently. I never heard of him. He's leaving.
Is that Mark, any relation to Mark McGuire?
No.
Absolutely none.
Okay. Sorry, carry on.
He works with Sony Computer Entertainment UK. He's the managing director, and he's leaving the company to get this. This is what a quote: a lot of soul searching. That's why he's leaving.
Could this be because of the performance the PS3 has done in the UK?
So maybe he feels guilty that he charged so much about it when it came out. I don't know. And he said that future personal growth is quote essential to so.
There you go.
I don't know what kind of guy this guy is, but he sounds a bit weird. Sounds a bit weird.
Best of luck.
Hey, maybe he just wants to travel the world or something. I don't know.
Maybe he does.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he will head on down to the land down under. Mr. Primrose, let's talk some Australia.
Oh, them crazy Aussies in their classification ratings.
Oi.
Apparently, they were at the finish line for getting through a R18 rating for their games because they haven't got one, which is causing all of this editing and so on and banning of games over there. But they were just about to get it through the federal government court, and now apparently the Attorney General's started expressing concerns about it. And he's worried that the new classifications would legalise games with high levels of graphic, frequent and gratuitous violence, including violence against civilians and police. That's a little disclaimer there. Clark shares the concerns of the Australian Christian lobby, them crazy, crazy religious fanatics. They're getting involved as well. And saying that they were asleep at the wheel when they let Grand Theft Auto and House of the Dead Overkill get a 15 rating, all the more reason to introduce an 18 rating. Yeah, but anyway, it's all ludicrous and it's all crazy down under. Daniel, can you get yourself to court and kick these fuckers up the ass?
Yes, Sentinel, Daniel, please, talk some sense into the peeps down there. Yeah, I don't get why they can't have this rating just simply be passed. It makes the most sense out of everything. All right, let's move on. Next piece of news, Mr. Matthew.
Mr. DeLacy. So, apparently, as may or may not come as a surprise to you, the next generation portable, which we've all been looking forward to from Sony, is going to be delayed a bit, perhaps in certain areas, as we might expect the tragic events in Japan have affected a lot of different industries. And so at release of the next-gen portable might not happen in as wide an area as was initially planned for this holiday. But yeah. I think we can all agree that the world and the people of Japan have more important things to worry about.
Very true. Very true. My guess is that, you know, hey, production's probably slowed down. They've got other concerns going on, so they're like, well, we may not have as many. So Mexico, tough luck. Brazil, tough luck.
Yeah, well, probably will be.
I don't think we're going to see shortages in some of the more mainstream, you know, focal points. I mean, certainly Europe and the United States will see their fair share of NGPs.
Well, certainly they're going to hit the large markets first.
Yeah. All right. Let's just bang through the next few here. Mike, talk some Max Payne.
Max Payne 3 reemerges in Edge cover story. That's right, the very popular Edge magazine is, as mentioned, Edge, or well, apparently mentioned Edge in its April 12th edition. Not a lot of news right now, but apparently it's going to be still being set in Brazil, which it was before. He's still bald. He's still got a beard. Yeah, it's kind of like the Max Payne that we've seen before. Rockstar are classic at this. They always release kind of, like, hey, we got a game in the works, and then you never hear from it again. And then when they finish a game, like Red Dead Redemption, all of a sudden you hear about a game that they mentioned, like L.A. Noir, which we have absolutely no idea about.
Yep.
So they focus on one game. They announce a few games ahead of them, and this is how they work. So it makes sense. I think after L.A. Noir, Max Payne 3, then hopefully the next GTA. I don't know. Just saying.
All right. Let's push forward. Forza 4, Mr. Matthew.
Forza 4. What better day to have some may or maybe not be actual footage leaked to the internet than the 1st of April? That being April Fool's Day for the people living under a rock. Video that was allegedly an internal pitch video for Forza Motorsport 4, but was quote-unquote not intended for public distribution, found its way to the interwebs. And the concern from Microsoft is probably because it features some online functionality that has yet to be completed, boasting such things as 16-player online races, 80 automobile manufacturers making contributions, and the introduction of social car clubs. So Not really sure what that means, but well done.
Well, I mean, so I saw the video. When it first came out, I was highly skeptical. I mean, again, not April you. 1st, come on. Really? You've got a really? Leaked video coming out April 1st. Yeah.
Really?
On top of it, one of the 80 manufacturers, and this was one of the things that I found the most odd and what I surely thought meant it was, in fact, an April Fool's joke, was that they had one of the manufacturers was a manufacturer by the name of, I believe it's Ascalon, which when you look at the logo and the name, that is the actual manufacturer in the Halo universe of the Warthog.
Huh.
So I thought for sure, okay, this is, you know, this is that was their one little clue they threw in there because it was part of the montage of all the different manufacturer logos that were coming through. And so I thought, okay, it's fake. Well, no, fake. Sure enough, it was authentic. And the Car Clubs actually has me most excited because that basically is you'll be able to have your online community, your online racing team, and you'll be able to go up and put, you know, your cars up against other online racing teams.
Like FIFA.
Like FIFA. Sure.
You can do that in FIFA. You can set up your own teams online and then play other people on the team.
Yeah. So I hope that does make it into the final build. You know, we talked a little bit pre-show about the 16-player online races. Yeah, it might be a bit much. I foresee a lot of wreckage.
A lot of phantom wreckage.
Yeah. But still, could be fun if they can, you know, work out the net code.
So apparently the word Ascalon has many different connotations. It was a city that was contested during one of the Crusades. There's a city in EVE Online called Ascalon. There's something in Guild Wars 2 called Ascalon. Final Fantasy. So apparently such nice and pretty sounding names are very popular.
Okay.
Yeah.
Noted. Mr. Primrose.
Yes.
Let's talk more juicy rumor.
Oh, yes. Juicy rumor coming from the Playvault camp. Yes. John Mal 5, anti-list man, but general good friend of all podcasts throughout the world. Apparently there's rumors floating around that Alan Wake 2 could be in development. Yes. Apparently Xbox Official Magazine this month has listed a quote that says it looks promising, and there's also a job advertisement which has appeared online for Remedy looking for a senior level designer who is passionate about storytelling, so which automatically makes everybody start thinking Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, this it makes sense. I mean, if you really think about it.
Come, isn't it?
Well, you know, even though it didn't have huge sales, I think it's hit about the million mark now.
Yeah, but it was a critical hit. That's
it was
the main thing.
Yes, it did have good press, you know.
Not with Duke.
Well, except for with Duke, and we know how much weight Duke carries in the world.
I am playing it.
Oh, no, Duke and I are talking about a new game. We'll talk about that in a second. But so Alan Wake 2, though, it does make sense because Microsoft absolutely is starving for exclusives. They don't have any true, you know, a long list of exclusives. So they've got a few, and this is certainly one of them that got some good, you know, good press. So why not make a sequel? It makes a lot of sense.
Plus, the story's unfinished, you know, of what there was of it.
Exactly.
It's not a lake, it's an ocean and all that jazz. But so, you
it's
know.
Crazy.
OMG. Say what you will. I think there's still a lot to do with that franchise that they could do.
Yeah. Well, let's jump on. Next couple of quick hits here. So, speaking of sequels, BioWare doing a little love to the community. So anybody, and I do mean anybody, PC gamer, PS3 gamer, or Xbox 360 gamer that bought Dragon Age 2 can basically get a free copy of the PC version of Mass Effect 2. They've got a little promo going on. Go to their website. Basically, you have to, I think, register up your copy with them, and then you get a code, and you can download the PC version of Mass Effect 2. I mean, maybe not everybody's going to want it, but I think it's a nice little bonus, nice little perk they're throwing out to the community. And I like the fact that it doesn't matter what console or, you know, what platform you bought it for. Also, in the realm of things that are nice to hear but yet to come, that didn't make any sense, but I'm just going to go with it. EA talked about their next basketball game. So we all remember EA had the NBA Elite 2011 game, basically didn't get launched. They pulled it from the launch window and said, you know what, we're not putting
NBA Jam will do.
NBA Jam will do. So they had a press release, and they talked about NBA Jam, and kind of down in the latter parts of the press release, they mentioned the fact that their next basketball simulation game was going to be coming out, and you know, for sure, I think the world would be thinking it would be coming out this fall, but no, it is going to be coming out the fall of 2012.
Damn.
So that is a 2-year hiatus for a game that, by all accounts, was done, and they pulled it from the shelves. That has to tell you two things. Well, actually, just one thing. That game was really bad.
Yeah.
And they must have just said, you know what, scrap the entire thing and go back to the
draw. Start again. Yeah, they must have done, because it's think maybe they just – I mean, like, I would have forgiven them if they just kind of polished up that game, you know, like just polish that game and make that game good. But no, they just went, nope, screw it, let's do something new.
But I have to say, you know, if that really is the case, if the game was really that bad, then hats off to EA for not releasing it.
But I won't go crazy yet.
Yeah, I'm not going crazy yet.
I wouldn't put it past them to release a game this fall.
Well, they are going to be releasing an NBA Jam game this fall.
Are they? Yes. Right, okay.
Anyway, so that does it for the news. We are done with it, finally. So we're going to jump into the show break. And when we come out of it, hey, guess what? We got the quiz coming back. So we'll tackle the quiz. Good friend Spitfire Ian, he's supplied us with a few more questions. And, of course, we'll hit the community mailbag, and then we'll just bust out of the show.
Get out of here.
All right. We'll be back in just a bit.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bunch of games and the new Xbox.
Play till the break of dawn. Now suddenly something's wrong.
Microsoft, just stick to software.
You're not cut out to make hardware.
Now I sit and wonder why I bought something that will just die.
NBC are my crew. Microsoft companies, so of course they always agree. 360s on PS3s, at least that's what they make the public believe. Microsoft, you played a dirty game. Don't you have any fucking shame? I have had a 360, and it got the RROD. No more Xbox, I turned PS3. I had it for months, it still amazes me. Remote connection, free online play. Reliable system, what more can I say? Sure, you guys have Gears of War, and maybe Halo, if it's cool anymore.
All right, we're back from the break. And hey, guys, it's quiz time. I wish
we could. It's quiz time. Everybody, it's quiz time. Oh, you're making it go back in.
We might have to turn that into a little quiz time intro.
Duke, get on that.
Yep, Duke, come on, get on it. We need a quiz time intro. You are the master of intros.
Making
yeah,
it
don't forget to leave me out of it.
Yes, please. Yeah. Leave Primrose out
of
it again. Or just a snoring sound in, and that would include you, Rich.
Duke's thinking, great, more stuff I've got to do.
I know.
Feel free.
Like he doesn't have enough.
You got to do, quit the show? Shut up, Duke.
Educate our youth? No, I'm going to make intros for web podcasts. Yes. All right, here we go. So Spitfire Ian, he sent us more quiz questions.
Yeah.
He actually had a little email that went with it. He said, hey there, chaps. Hope you're all well. Currently, I'm trying to get through Homefront on Guerrilla difficulty. It certainly extends the time play of the campaign. Just stuck on a bit after sniping from the church tower. Ah, never-ending spawning enemies. Now, you seem to find the last questions a little easy, so hopefully you will find these a little more perplexing.
I am perplexed.
I am always perplexed when I talk to you. But this week, what we're going to do, kind of similar format, everybody will get a chance to respond to the question, and then we'll have a little scoring, and I'll rotate through on who gets the question first, and we'll just, you know, see who comes out at the end on top.
I got to interject one thing, Greg.
Yes.
Duke, being an English teacher, might appreciate this. I don't believe that perplexed is the right word to describe your state when you speak to me. I believe the word is vexed. I believe that is more accurate. He vexes me. I'm terribly vexed. Which
I am perplexed why I still have you on the show at times.
Yes, as am I.
I'm perspex.
Moving on.
Reflex.
Question number one.
Oh, quiz time.
Question number one. We're going to be starting. Here we go.
Flawless. This is brilliant.
What is the lullaby being sung by an unseen girl in Dead Space? It was used in the trailer as well.
What do we do now? Do we say our answers?
Give me an answer.
You wait until Greg says who's answering.
Okay.
The first Dead Space. God, that was yonks ago.
What is a yonk?
It's a little bit longer than a dickety split.
Right.
Yeah.
That clears it right up. There's a city not far south of me called Yonkers.
But more importantly,
it's that far. Yeah.
What this lullaby is being sung?
I know. I'm waiting. I don't know. Maybe I know.
Answer, Mike. Come on.
But if I know, then everybody else will get it right.
Not necessarily, because you could be wrong.
Well, I'll fold. Files. I don't know. So,
yeah, Primrose Files. Folding. Mike?
All right, I'll twinkle, twinkle, little star.
All right. Primrose Folded. Mr. Matthew, what is your response?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, and $1.
And $1. Mr. Matthew, yeah. You do not win because it is exactly Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was going to say, ba-ba, black sheep, blah, blah, blah.
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star was the first lullaby I could think of. I never finished Dead Space, which I realize is video gaming blasphemy, so I don't know.
Blah.
It is video gaming blasphemy.
Blah.
Speaking of blasphemy, Mr. Matthew.
Yes.
What time is shown on all the digital clocks as you go through the game in Dead Space 2?
Well, everything that is scary happens at midnight, so I'm going to go with 12:00.
Okay. Mr. Primrose.
Going back to last week, I'm going to go 12:00:01.
And Mr. Chin.
I'm going to go with 666.
It is indeed 12:00. Mr. Matthew takes home the point.
Ding, 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 ding.
Mr. Primrose, I'm docking you just because you said the one.
I haven't played Dead Space 2. That's a tricky question when you haven't played it.
It is a tricky question when you haven't played it.
Greg.
Yeah.
What exactly are you docking me? Because I haven't got any points yet.
So you're negative. You're negative, hero.
Yeah, you are negative.
Losing.
You owe Greg a point. You're by losing.
You owe me Greg, now. 50.
Greg, take it off the 59p you owe me.
Greg now has a point. Greg is winning. He's beating
yes,
you.
Yes, I'm winning. I am master. All right, next question. Mr. Primrose, maybe you can redeem yourself. Lucy Stillman is a background character from which game? Lucy Stillman.
Lucy, I'm
home. I don't know. I'll have to take a guess.
You can take a guess, absolutely.
So it's going to have to be a game that I haven't played. Heavy Rain?
Okay.
Heavy Rain.
Mr. Matthew, what would you ask Lucy Stillman?
I believe Lucy Stillman is a supporting character in the Assassin's Creed series.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I have played that.
Well, she was a supporting... What? Spoiler!
And Mr. Chin.
She gets stabbed at the end of Brotherhood. Oh, no!
Oh, you fucking wankers! Finish that!
They were talking about it on the Veteran Gamers last week, man.
Yeah. And also, I know, and I fast-forwarded that because I got a nice warning of fucking Duke.
Yeah, but they got her name wrong. They said, is it Amy or something? I was like, no, it's Lucy. It's the one who like, shows you that she's got like no third finger, but in the second and Brotherhood game, she's got the
she
finger
does
back.
Have, yeah,
what
she
the
got it back.
Is that about?
She's a chameleon. She grows back her tail if you cut it off.
Okay, so just taking a quick score recap. Oh, thank you for that. we've got Mr. Matthew and Mr. Chin tied at 2 points apiece. I'm not giving you credit for the stolen answer earlier on, Mr. Matthew. And Mr. Primrose, you are at -3.
Hold on, I'm fucking... Yeah, right.
He lost a point for folding? That's not
right. I just went for a stomp around the room. I'm fucked off now. Okay.
You know what? It's true. We can't give him a minus.
Where's that fucking portal trailer again? Portal 2. Google. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Question number 4. Back to you, Mike. Name the 5 enemy types. Sorry. Name the 5 types of enemy in Assassin's Creed 2.
What?
That was really difficult for me to say.
No way.
Yep. Go ahead. Come on. Give it to me. Come on. Five enemy types.
.org. I don't know.
Did you say orc?
No, I said wikipedia.org. As if I
was I thought you said orc. Right. There's no orcs in Assassin's Creed.
No,
I think I've got 2.
Okay.
The
I might
Templars.
Give you half credit.
The Templar. I don't know.
Okay. Mr. Primrose.
Right, well, this could be a lot of things, but I'd say, like, characters that you... The main characters that you go out and kill, there's one... called Rodrigo Borgia.
The Borgias.
Yeah, and that's got something to do with the whole Pope thing, because there's a big series coming on with loads of shagging and the Pope that shags in it in real life.
Which is, ironically called the Borgias.
Yeah, the Borgias. And then there's the other Borgia as well that's in it. I can't remember his first name though, so at least two of them are Borgias. That's two. Do I get 2 points for that?
I just like hearing you say Borgias.
Borgias.
Mr. Matthew, what is your response? Five enemy types in Assassin's Creed 2.
I have to agree with Primrose that this question is very vague. But I think he's talking about like not the named enemies, but like the types that you come across, right? So
if I said something, I would be giving something away. So
all right, we'll don't say anything. So there's the big huge dudes, and games usually call the big huge dudes the brutes. So that's one. There's the random dude that dies, and games and movies always have random dudes that die, and they're called guards.
There's a little midget that explodes.
There's a midget that explodes, and it's called a ticker.
A tocker.
Ticker?
No. It's a tocker in Assassin's Creed. Tocker.
Yeah. So you got the brutes and the guards. There's the ones that look for you.
So stop hiding!
Stop hiding! Not the super mutants. What's a good word for someone that looks for you?
Bill's here. Sorry, wrong
guy. Bill's here. Yeah, ones that look for you. There's the ones that chase you. And then there's like the boss leaders. So is that five?
That's five. I don't know quite what names you've given them though.
So we're going to go with guards, brutes, leaders, seekers, and chasers.
And boomers.
Templar Tocker. A Templar Tocker. Okay.
So out of the three of you, Mike Chin was clearly the most wrong. Although some could argue Primrose would be the most wrong just because he was on the wrong line of thinking. Although we could potentially...
Gave you names!
Just relax. I was going to say, but we could also argue that what you were talking about is indeed correct. But in the scope of this conversation, you were wrong. Mr. Matthew was closest... But also wrong.
Oh no.
So it's wrong. Regular guards. I'm going to give you that. Seekers, which you pulled out of your ass at the last minute, which was nice.
You've been pulling what out of the ass?
Names. Then brutes. But then there's agiles and archers.
Okay.
So nobody gets a point.
Where did you get this from? The instruction manual?
Possibly. Hey, take it up with Spitfire Ian, not me. Don't kill the messenger. Question number four. I don't even know where to start with this.
I believe this is question number five.
Sure. Question number five. Mr. Primrose, time to redeem yourself. Name this race. Thousands of years ago, they ruled the surface of Theseus.
Is it the Grand National?
It's the Catalina Grand Prix.
But today they live in the shadow of another race. Whether as an oppressed underclass confined to urban slums or to wander in ancient forests. I can repeat that if you want.
To wander?
Wander.
Yes.
Wander.
Does that mean they're all walking around the forest stroking their chins?
Could be.
Yes. Yeah. Stroking their goatees.
It is wander, just for the record.
Right. So I've got named two races in this game. Right.
Sounds like you got to name all three.
Right, okay. So the first race is the Smurfs. Second race is the Fraggles. And the third race is the Sims.
Okay. Mr. Chin, what is your response?
I have no idea what this question is.
Nor am I.
Thousands of years ago, they ruled the surface of what? But today, they live in the shadow of another race.
All right, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Mr. Matthew.
It's from the Codex of Dragon Age. I spent many hours playing Dragon Age. It's from the Codex. So the race that he's describing... The race that he's describing is the elves... and the two remaining races in the game are the humans and the dwarves.
Ding, 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 ding.
Game is Dragon Age Origins.
Mr. Matthew takes the point. So we're now 3-2, and we won't discuss.
So me and Mike have openly said that we didn't play Dragon Age and everything, and you give that question to us.
Again,
fixed.
It's rigged. It's
question rigged. Number six, Mr. Matthew.
You want me to start on the Mass Effect question?
No, Mr. Chin. SSV Normandy, name the ship's original captain and the heritage of the ship's name.
Jesus Christ. She's torture.
Yes.
I'm chewing. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm chewing.
It's good.
No idea.
Okay. No idea. Mr. Primrose. Could be your redeeming moment of the quiz right here.
I tried to tell Mike. It was Captain Nemo.
Captain Nemo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Captain
Nemo. And the ship?
The heritage of
the ship's name?
Yeah, it used to be called the Black Pig. And it used to have a captain called Pugwash.
I get the feeling that Mike and Rich have stopped taking this very seriously.
No, I'm taking it seriously. I just don't know the answers.
Nor me.
Mr. Primrose, you are incorrect. Mr. Matthew.
I don't remember his first name, but the captain's name was Anderson.
Yes.
And I'm guessing that the SSV Normandy is named in honor of the Battle of Normandy 1944. Because I can't think right off the top of my head of any other famous vessels named Normandy.
Outstanding, soldier. Outstanding. That is
yes.
Correct. 1944, French battle. World War II. Fantastic.
Battle in France.
Well, aren't you the Shining student?
Yes, he is.
Well, I have spent a little bit of time studying military history.
True.
Whatever. So you true. Say.
So I say. I did just say it.
Mr. Matthew, for winning the quiz today, you are getting the golden microphone, which is nothing more than symbolic.
And do I get to say, America, fuck yeah.
Yes, you do. And you did. Okay. Thank you.
Those questions were hard. I didn't like them.
Yeah, I did tell Mr. Ian that in the future, he is more than welcome to throw in some gimmies. That we're not above gimmies. And we may have to restructure the scoring system. I realize the way the questioning is going.
What are you going to do? Give me a Dragon Age question. Now I'm going to know that. Come on.
Well, you're playing it.
You could have Stuart Fowler write the questions with all of his questions from games from 1996 and 1993.
How many particles did the fifth frame have on the second scene?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk that, community mailbag.
That was the worst. I've never been more embarrassed than when I went on the Veteran Gamers and participated in the quiz. It's terrible.
I did all right out of it.
Oh, I didn't. I did not. I got
well,
none
you bet
right.
Me now. CPM, you bet me now.
I did what?
You beat me now.
Yes.
Oh, I said bet you. I was like, I didn't bet you anything. We didn't have a wager going. Oh. I don't know that we can count that as a beat, Mike, because it's kind of a team quiz, really.
It is a bit of a team quiz. It's kind of an outlasting, not embarrassing yourself quiz.
All that matters is that the OC podcast rose to the challenge and got all the answers correct as a team.
They did, and you guys carried Rich well. I love you,
yes,
Rich.
Yes,
I love
yes.
you.
And his Velcro.
And his Velcro. Hey, let's talk community mailbag. Let's talk about something a little more positive than the quiz.
The quiz was meant to be a bit of fun.
It is a bit of fun.
And now you're saying it was the downer of the show?
Well, I fear that Mr. Primrose is feeling
one of the,
inadequate at the moment.
One of them answers should have been a smurf.
Take the mail, Pop.
Yep, take the mail, Pip.
Yep, any mail for us.
All right, Skull, take us home here.
Yes. Nice jingle, that. Yeah, Duke, listening. Community mailbag. What new game genre or IP would you like
hold on.
To
hold on. Are you drunk? I swear,
all right.
He downed a fifth of vodka after listening to the quiz. Said,
what, the words that are in front of me are, what new game genre or new IP? And you just went, what new game genre? That's what you just said.
That's weird. Genre? Yeah. Let me get this out, for God's sake. Oh, dear. What new game genre or IP would you like to see on a console? Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. So, come on then, lads. What would you like to see?
I want to see a true shooter with actual RPG elements to it. We haven't really seen it yet. It's getting close with Mass Effect. But, I mean, I want to see, like, a Halo-type first-person shooter that's got actual RPG elements. You go to towns, you visit, you talk to people, blah, blah, blah.
So you wouldn't count
now,
Borderlands?
No, not Borderlands. I wouldn't count Borderlands because Borderlands, to me, did not feel like an RPG at all. Borderlands just felt like a shooter that had some RPG kind of shading to it. Now, Fallout, I could make
– you just said?
No,
you just said you wanted to see a shooter with RPG elements.
But I want true RPG elements. Borderlands didn't have true RPG elements. I don't care what you say. It was just a shooter.
What are some true RPG elements?
I want the conversation tree involved in Halo game.
Conversation tree is the only thing. I will grant you that conversation tree is the only thing that Borderlands is really missing from the RPG genre. Because you have enemies that level up, and if you go somewhere where you shouldn't be yet, the enemies are too high level for you to kill them, which you said you liked. You have an inventory system to manage with equipment that is upgradable. Now, you couldn't customize the equipment, so I'll give you that too, no customizable equipment. But you had side quests, you had leveling up, you had leveled up enemies, you had inventory to manage. I mean, I don't know. To me, everything was there for an RPG except for the conversation tree and the customizable equipment.
You know, after listening to all of this, I realize what I really want is more Fallout.
Well, then,
in so many ways, that's really what that is. But, hey, Matthew, what do you want? Come on. Step up to the plate.
Matthew?
Yeah, Chris.
We're back to last names
now?
Fair enough. All right, DeLacy. What I would like to see is it's not a new genre. But I would like to see more turn-based strategy to the console. So maybe like Civilization Revolution kind of, or maybe even taking it all the way back to XCOM UFO Defense with the nice mashup of squad-based and, you know, strategy everything.
Yeah,
that's what I would like to see.
I just got wood. That is actually a great idea.
I'm going to stop talking now.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to go back to a conversation that we had the first part of the show. I meant to mention what Duke and I were talking about, which is another game that's coming out, which I want to see more of this too. So it's a genre of game. It's mech games, a game coming out called Hoxen. Go check it out. There's a YouTube video. It is awesome. It's being developed by a 9-person team. It's going to be an arcade title, and it is looking fantastic, and it's mechs. So what's not to love?
Mechs.
Mike.
I do enjoy your just innate love of mech games. Like, you don't care, you're just a mech. You've got a mech, it's fine. I love that. I love you just go heads first into it. You're like, mech.
Yeah, but
brilliant.
Transformers War for Cybertron had mechs, and he didn't like that.
Nope. Gotta have good mechs.
The Autobots are good mechs. They protect the world.
Autobots are fags.
We're gonna fight.
Oh, no.
Mike, come on. Here we go.
Imagine a gay Transformer.
There was one. It was called Blur.
I'm sure Transformer fans are pissing themselves now. Hopefully that one.
Probably.
Actually, they're probably not. They're probably burning me in effigy.
What? Blur? What am I talking about? New IP. Right. I want to see a Fallout in modern day. How about that?
All right. Yeah. That works.
Like now?
Call of Duty, Fallout.
But that would be past, wouldn't it? Yeah, modern day to Fallout would be further in the future, wouldn't it?
But not like a Fallout structure, you know, that kind of like structure, like open world.
Right, just in the modern day.
In a modern era where, I don't know, like a kind of cross between GTA and Fallout.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So like a first-person Grand Theft Auto with leveling up.
Or maybe the game we thought Alpha Protocol was going to be.
I don't know about that. I won't go that far. But, you know, some of, with the Fallout structure and all that, but, you know, GTA, you know, looking modern city. Right. I don't want to see that.
How about you, Mr. Primrose?
I'd like to see him. People are going to probably start slagging me off for this, but I would like to see... I think, you know, MMOs never... They haven't took off on consoles. I think the only way you could do it is if you had a truly successful base for people that were already playing, and I think the only thing you could do that with would be a franchise like Call of Duty. So
I think you could...
I would like them to try that, and
I think I'm sorry, Rich. I keep interrupting.
It's all right, mate. You carry on. You jump in.
Well, I think you could also maybe get away with it if you could make it cross-platform, so that maybe I don't want to go get a PC, but maybe I want to check out Guild Wars, so I can jump into some Guild Wars on my Xbox or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you could make it cross-platform, you might be able to bring it in.
Yeah, and with a lot of these people striking up deals as well and offering free copies of this if you buy this and so
yeah,
it could work.
I think that might be a next generation of hardware concept. I don't think that's going to happen this time around.
Hey, it's ideas, man. We're not constraining it to consoles. It's just what we'd like to see.
Fair enough.
I think the other limitation is it's got to be free to play. I don't think there are enough people paying for Microsoft Live or Xbox Live that are willing to pay another $10 a month to play a game.
If you stuck, say, a $5 price tag on somebody that was going to offer you continuous content for something like the Call of Duty franchise, I don't think there'd be that many people saying that.
Well, maybe not for Mr. Matthew.
No. I'm just talking about your general...
I don't know. So they'd go for it. Yeah, I guess. I mean, but that depends. So what do you mean by continuous content? You mean I pay $5 a month and every 3 months you drop me 5 new maps?
No.
You know?
If you're playing World of Warcraft, yeah, they've got dev teams that are just sitting there cranking stuff out. So for the same sort of thing, you would be getting content dropped in, updates as soon as when you switch your Xbox on, within every couple of weeks you'll be downloading a new bit of content and it'd be constantly changing.
I don't know that the gaming crowd at large, and by the at large I mean the very young people who play games, will understand the value in that. They will just look at it as, I already pay to play on Xbox Live, why do I need to pay more? I don't know that enough people would take the rational approach that you have just laid out.
Well, yeah, and plus you got to think that from a company's perspective, it needs to be something that is monetarily, you know, it's going to work for them. I mean, if you're talking $5 a month, I mean, right now, they're paying $60 up front, and then every, say, 3 months, they're paying another $15, but they're only having to put out, what, at most, 5 more maps over the course of those 3 months, whereas an MMO, you're going to have to maintain the dedicated servers, you're going to have to maintain more than just, you know, updating one map into the system. You're going to have to be, you know, creating a much bigger system than that. I don't think the $5 model would work. Just saying.
Right then. Pounds then.
No, I mean, I think
it's a good idea. It could work. I just think they have it monetarily.
I think it's a good idea, Rich. I just don't know if the console crowd would go for it. What's it cost to play WoW a month? $10?
No, it's like 20.
Is it?
Whew. Yeah. Yeah, it's not cheap to play WoW. But again, they're continuously getting updated content, you know, dedicated servers and maintenance, you know, it's seamless and it's always up. It is a very impressive service that they offer out. So people want to pay for that. So
that's also kind of that crowd, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they'll burn me in effigy for saying it, But that's usually the only thing they play. So it might. So I would look at it as if I started paying $5 or $10 a month to play a specific game, I would be like, well, I got to get my $5 worth, and I would just play that all the time.
True.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. So how many people, and I'll say that I know a lot, how many people fit that
only play? Yeah, they only play.
I know a lot of people that do that.
True.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You are right.
All right, well, what about the rest of the community, Mr. Primrose?
Y'all.
I have to say.
Okay, we had a tweet from Mr. Richard Webster. It started off with... he tweeted, MMO, RTS, hundreds of players, all struggling for power. Gigantic map, amazing. So, Rich is going for the MMO as well. He wants to see it.
See? MMO RTS, yeah. See that. By the way, Mr. Webster, again, great interview last week. We look forward to future interviews, which I believe he has already recorded.
So. Yeah, I think he did he did surpass the interview with the Surface Lizard impression. I thought that was excellent. Absolutely excellent.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. We've been holding on that for weeks, but we've just been waiting for Surface Leaders to not to turn up 1 week. And because Surface Leaders is always full of like apologies, like, I'm sorry I haven't done it this week, lads, I'm really sorry. And he's like, no, look, don't worry about it, we got one this week, it's great.
Yeah, and next one then, we've got one from Marty, Greasy Fish Lips, who said he wants a zombie game where... he's the zombie killing humans. Let's see it from a zombie point of view. Brain eating and turning others into zombies. That'd be really good if you had somebody like Rockstar going, I want to do a really good character driven zombie film. And you had all of these dead zombies like, right, friend.
Well, it wasn't in the serious vein, but I believe there was I know there was a zombie game. It was made by some spin-off devs from Bungie. It was an Xbox game, if I'm not mistaken, and I can't for the life of me think of the name of the game, but you were like this kind of like you were a zombie, but it was kind of almost charismatic and comical in the way you went about things.
Yeah, well, that was made using the Halo engine.
Yes. I can't think of the name of the game, but kind of was done there. And then certainly, I mean, you could say the versus mode in Left 4 Dead 2 allows you to experience that, but not in a single player situation.
Yeah, not with a story with characters. Yeah,
yeah. The only thing I could say that I would kind of fault that is I don't get the impression that zombies have this Stubbs the zombie. There you go. I've never gotten the impression that a zombie has some overly interesting day-to-day life and or goings on of what it does. And
you're wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
BioWare needs to get on this. We want BioWare with character-driven depth of story, new universe with zombies.
All right, next one.
We also had a question coming from...
It was from Marty as well.
Was this from Marty, yes. Oh, yeah, it was. I can remember what answer I put to him. He sent us a question. What's your favourite fruit? His is strawberry or a nice firm pear. What do you like, Greg?
I love Granny Smith apples. Love the tart green apple.
You're all about the grandma.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Mike?
Name is Greg. Granny Smith apple. I love them. Love apples. In fact, I had one about 2 hours ago. Love
jealous. Me. Very jealous.
Chris?
Well, those guys like grandmas. I like navels. I'm going to go with the navel oranges.
And Skull, what about you?
I like lychees, even though they do look like kangaroo bollocks.
That's why you like them.
I love them.
Oh, all right. Next question.
If the dog's bollocks is good, what's the kangaroo's bollocks?
It's excellent. Although it is slightly censored.
So that's going to be the new scale for OC Podcast game reviews. It's either bollocks, the dog's bollocks, or the kangaroo's bollocks in increasing order of goodness.
Yeah, definitely. We also had a question from Mark Davis, and this is one you can throw around the table for debate. When a game gets put on demand and goes cheap on Xbox Live, say down to $14.99, do you think that the DLC should go down accordingly?
Yes.
I mean, from a consumer standpoint, yeah. Why would I not want that to happen? I mean, that to me is just a kind of no-brainer.
Yeah, but what about if you look at the retail version of it? So obviously, say your Hot Pursuit goes down within a week of release or whatever, or a couple of weeks of release, down from, you know, 40 quid down to 30 quid. Surely Xbox Live ain't expected to bring it down in parallel.
Well, now, that there you're talking about the retail version of the game going down in price. DLC might not have even been released yet.
Yeah.
Most of the time when we have the game go to games on demand, they're like 6 months to a year old. So you've already had a good bit of DLC that's been out for a while. So I say, yes, drop the price. Here's my problem with this question, though. When a game goes cheap, e.g. £14.99, so what's a pound in dollars nowadays? $1.60, $1.70?
Somewhere about that.
So that's almost $30. I don't define that as cheap for a year-old game. That's just me, though. I mean, that's my gripe with games on demand from the start, is most of them come out at $20, and if you go looking around, you can find a disc copy for 10 or less.
Right. Well, and then because they're still battling that need to satisfy the retail stores by not undercutting them, it's a very interesting business.
True.
But, Mike, did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think we should separate the DLC from the retail game. Like, I do wish that, like, say Microsoft, for example, managed their DLC, or just in general their arcade games. Like, some of these arcade, like, the Dig Dug, whatever it is, that was released that no one's buying now. Drop the price. Just drop the price. I wish they'd just look after the prices on those things. That includes the DLC. So, like, the DLC for, like Top Spin 2 or whatever, you know, like, games that have been released that no one cares about, just drop them. And, you know, you might sell a few more.
And I think, or do special bundles. Well, yeah, like, in demand, just say, right, you can have the whole lot for this.
And yeah. they kind of are doing that. It's just they've taken a long time to come around to it. Yeah. I think Steam is absolutely pushing both them and the PSN store to do these kind of deals because
Steam do it best. PSN do it pretty well.
Xbox Live has been pretty bad.
Yeah, but I think they've all had to kind of succumb to Steam. You know,
yes.
Steam was like, let's show them up. So yeah.
All right, we're gonna jump over to some emails. So first email up is from a good friend of the show, Mr. Eric Piotrowski. He says, you okay back there?
Huh? What?
You got a sleeping bag there. I'm jealous.
Me?
It's rolling out a sleeping bag.
I was doing some more press-ups.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Duca says, you have 16 ears, my friend. Soma FM is a magnificent online radio station. Okay, games. Crysis 2 multiplayer isn't about sprinting around everywhere like I usually do on COD, etc. It is about using the invisibility cloak to catch fools slipping, then blasting on them. Rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. Here's a movie quote that maybe CPM will be able to identify. 37?
37? Not a lot of context there, eh? Duke. Office Space. I don't know.
He doesn't give us an answer. Anyway.
Oh, good. I guess we'll have to wait till next week to find out.
Apparently.
Tune in.
I liked the interview Rich did last week, even if I already get more than my weekly dose of stew on the Veteran Gamers podcast. I also liked how Skull made those funny jokes about Greg putting his hand on his leg.
That one's funny.
The best rename that to Galo. Everyone should go on, go to GOG.com. I've become a total shill for them lately. It's like Steam of classic PC games, and apparently he gets a percentage. I got Empire Earth for $3. $3! Penny Arcade quote, $4. How about this movie quote, CPM? London, you know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, London.
Snatch. That's a snatch.
Yeah, that's snatch faux show.
And it's hey. the dude that was in Miami Vice, isn't it?
It goes on. Hey, Chinny, in the last 2 hours, I've created 5 new websites and written 14-page essay.
Oh, I hate you.
On her dick box. 1846 novel, Le Cuisine Bête.
Can you say that dude's name again?
No, I cannot.
Come on.
No.
You know you want to.
You weren't going
to
say blops. I'm not going to say it. He goes on. He gives a Wikipedia link, but I'm not going to say what it is because I can't say it. He says, just kidding. I did write the Wikipedia article, though. That's the link. They should make a video game out of it. You could play as Hulot, sure, and be like, and be all like old man voice. Sorry. Oh, I need more prostitutes. And then Valerie Marneffe could be like, ooh, I'm sort of a lesbian, but not really, but maybe. And Creville could flop around going, argh. This exotic Brazilian toxin is slowly eating my face away. Too bad I made my fortune with perfume instead of toxin antidotes. That's best impression ever.
You know, that sounded like Dr. Evil.
I know.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
He says, could be a killer RPG. Get Bethesda on it. Game of the year. XOXO.
That's too busy bidding with BioWare for the new zombie game.
Yeah. Winning. Okay, I'm tired. I need to take a break. Mike.
Take a breather. Lie down before you hurt yourself.
I'm gonna.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, Greg, because the next email is from Mechanics. The Mechanic. Let me scroll down. Hi, guys. This past week for me has been all about Shift 2 Unleashed. I don't know if it was called Unleashed. I don't know if it was the...
Yes, Shift 2 Unleashed.
Unleashed. Man, they just couldn't hold it still. Yes, so Shift 2 Unleashed. I am really impressed with this racer. I liked the first Shift a lot, and they have improved on the original. The racing is fast and frantic. The AI drivers are very aggressive, even on easy. We know about aggressive AI on easy, don't we, Greg? Fight Night?
Yep. Thanks.
The graphics are great, and the sound is fantastic. The car handling is good when you get a nice controller configuration, as the default settings are not the best.
That's an understatement.
Really? Are they really bad?
They're shitty.
That's a bit weird. The crashes are just awesome. Barrel rolling down the track with wheels and bits of metal flying everywhere just looks really, really, really good.
To interrupt real quick, they are, in fact, pretty awesome crashes. I had my first rollover crash, and I went to, you know, pull back out onto the race course, and my car wasn't moving. I'm like, what the hell did I do? And I shifted views and got to the external view, and I look, my car is missing 3 of its tires.
That'll do it.
I'm not a mechanic.
Mark's the mechanic, but I'm pretty sure you need tires.
But so the best part, the best part was you could see the car trying to drive on the 3 missing tires.
and the rotor's
spinning. It was pretty awesome. Anyway, go on.
So I gotta interject here just quickly. He does say in his email that he really likes the game, but if you're following Twitter, which you should always do because what else is there to do in life but follow Twitter? Mark has become decidedly frustrated with Need for Speed Shift in the last few hours.
Yeah.
So apparently he changed his tune. We'll hear from him next week about that, I'm sure.
I think there goes a lot with first impressions on some of these games, especially racing games.
Once you get past all the flair and everything, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark continues to say there are a few bad points. I like running manual gears in racing games, but for some reason, in this, when you shift gears, it stays in neutral for a split second, and this gets really annoying and off-putting. So I'm using auto.
Yeah, also, so real quick again. They have an automatic...
Mark, it's not me interrupting you.
I know. It's me. I'm sorry. But he's right. They put in this artificial like gear shifting hesitation. Weird. So you'll literally see your car shift from first into neutral, then into second, and it pauses. Now upgrading your gear shift box will speed that up, but no matter what, you'll always get that. It is stupid. I hate it.
That doesn't happen in real cars. That's
no,
weird.
Never. I never miss gears.
Or never stole a car. Anyway. Also, never. Although the multiplayer is really good in the private lobby, the next race starts automatically on a timer. Why? ? Fair enough in ranked games, but for private lobbies, really, it should be started when everybody else readies up, surely. I've added some words into this email. He's like, I didn't write that. And also, I've got a very deep voice all of a sudden. So far, though, these two minor issues are not distracting me from enjoying the chuff out of this game. Who's moving around? Who's moving around during what?
It's Rich settling into a sleeping bag.
Yeah. Seems slowly, slowly falling asleep. Thanks to everyone who joined in the Shift 2 G40E Playdate last Saturday. It was a real blast and much laughs were had. I will set up another one very soon, so keep an eye on the forum. Oh, sorry, no answer to the question of the week from me. Can't think of any IPs I want that aren't already out there, and most of my favourite old games have been remade or re-released. Lazy, I know, but tough. Lol. Have a great show, guys. Mark.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
CP, you'll know the answer to this. You know, Mark, did he set up the kind of like achievement challenge over the summers? Does he?
Yes, he did those the last couple of summers. The gamer score challenge. Yes.
Is he doing one this year? Do you know?
I don't know. He hasn't said anything about it yet. He usually doesn't announce it until May.
Yeah, nothing so far.
All right. Well, I'd like to know. I enjoy those. I took part in not last year's, like years before. I really enjoyed it. So it was
yep.
Yep, and he kept a track of them and everything. He did little tables of them. It was really cool. I love that.
Mark definitely brings a lot. Speaking of bringing a lot, Chris, you've got David Brown's email. Dude wrote another essay.
He did. It was a brilliant essay following the 5-paragraph format of essays. So, yes, David Brown writes in, "Good evening, chaps. Still having technical difficulties with last week's show, so after catching up, I am now behind again. Yay!" So, I don't know what technical difficulties you have. But
so, for whatever reason, last week, iTunes and Zune decided, and I think it had to do with Podbean, but the show took 2.5 hours to download.
Yeah, it was kind of slow last week. I noticed that when I was downloading.
Pretty slow. So, hopefully that will not be the case this week.
Hopefully not. But you can also stream it if you wish.
True. You can always stream it.
Anyway. Anyway, this is what he says. On to what I've been playing, which is a shit ton of Shift 2. Say that 5 times fast. Some BFBC 2 and some Forza 3. So lots of driving there and a little bit of shooting mixed in. Shout outs to everyone I played with over the weekend. Friday night on Forza. Saturday afternoon on Shift 2. And Sunday on BFBC 2. This sounds very familiar. Seems like I've read it before. Never mind. Really good times were had with everyone involved in those games. David. Well said, David. Well said.
Very nice. David the alien.
DTA.
Yes. So that's pretty much it for the community feedback. There were no forum posts from what I knew, but that was just because everybody had responded either through Twitter or email, and that's the way it goes. But hey, you know what, guys? We got an iTunes review.
Whoa. Yay. This is me falling over.
Oh, yeah. I know.
This is me in a nutshell. How did I get in this nutshell? What?
Oh, Austin, you're so funny.
All right, take a deep breath here, gentlemen. So the iTunes review is titled...
I don't think he's doing a B impression either.
No. It's like kind of sleepy time Z's. It's from Mr. Dr. Craw Mad.
Cromerax. Wait, no.
And he said, what can I say? One of the few podcasts where the presenters fall asleep doing the podcast. Bloody fun. Sorry, bloody funny. When they do stay awake, it's a lighthearted banter on gaming that never gets dull and has a nice mix of USA and UK cultures. Chinny, star of the show,
yep.
Gotcha. But could do with some training on sound clips from Duke. Snap! Thank you. 5-star rating. Appreciated it. I have to come to the defense of my UK brothers here. So for those that don't know, when we record the show, we record it on a Tuesday evening. It's Tuesday late afternoon for myself. I'm starting it usually. We try to kick off somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I cut my work day a little short. Mr. Matthew, being on the East Coast, is right in his dinner time area. And the UK guys, you know, I applaud you guys because Bravo. It's late. It's late over there and you guys are making the effort to stay up. It's usually somewhere around midnight.
Dr. Kroll,
that's,
Crawl,
that's
man.
When we're
it's
starting.
It's quarter to two in the morning, right?
Yes.
Fucking two. Crazy.
So,
Rich is already in his sleeping bag. What do you expect?
Yeah. I'm in my sleeping bag scratching my nuts.
And apparently also in the bathroom.
Yes.
I am also in that same sleeping bag scratching his nuts.
And for that, I love you guys.
Yep.
Cut the UK guys a little bit of slack. Sometimes it's just tiring. I get that. But anyway, we do appreciate the review.
Thanks for calling me the star of the show, though, but I won't get a refuse of any training from Duke. Sorry.
All right. Mr. Matthew, it is now your time to show.
Okay. So we've had the ongoing contest to win some codes from NinjaBee for their game Ancients of Uga. And we've had four winners out of the five possible ways to win. The one that remains open we'll cover momentarily. So, number one, for retweeting the announcement tweet, luck of the draw, winner was at GXGear. Twitter ID GXGear. So congratulations. Your code will be around shortly. Number two, lucky draw for posting in the announcement thread on the forum. The winner was Steve-O-Matic. So congratulations to Steve-O-Matic. Number three.
I don't know if I can congratulate Steve, though. Wasn't he like part of what, Team Purple or something like that way back when?
He was one of the Delta, Delta, Deltas. Can I help you, help you, help you? Yes.
All right, continue on. I'm sorry.
Number three. High score in the Doritos Crash Course Challenge went to Chaserlo.
I'm going to go with Chaserlo.
Let's do it. Chaserlo. Skip to my Lou. Congratulations. You are the winner. And the winner for responding to our email with the correct answer to our trivia question. The answer reads, "Hi guys, still catching up on my podcast, so apologies if my entry is a little late. I think the first ever home console was the Magnavox Odyssey, released in 1972.
Damn, that's old.
There was an earlier console, but this was a prototype. It was called the Brown Box, and it was completed in 1968. P.S. It's amazing what you can find out on internet. Lol.
It is indeed.
That the correct answer is the Magnavox Odyssey.
Yes.
And congratulations to none other than Mark Wright. Yay!
Yay, Markanix.
Markanix is the winner. And the last remaining code that is still available is we're looking for a slogan for the Gaming for the Elderly community. So post your answers in the forums.
Gaming for the Elderly, where old farts play games. Something like that.
Something better than that, but along those lines, yes.
We be old, but we be game.
Yeah, or something like that.
Winning!
Gaming for the elderly. Winning here, winning there, winning everywhere. Yeah.
Mature gamers with childlike behavior.
Yes.
So we just win this ourselves.
Yes.
Socially stunted. So, yeah.
Oh, thanks for ruining it, Chris. We're on a roll.
It was good. It was alliterative and everything. Anyway. Let's see. We already did that. So, coming up Saturday, the 9th of April at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Bum, 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 bum.
And then...
No excuses. Cheap DLC.
You're gonna love this.
I'm going to buy the Onslaught now.
You're not going to want to miss this, all right? Because it's going to be epic.
This is great.
Sunday, 6 p.m., the veteran gamers are going to be playing, wait for it, they're going to be playing PS3 Home. That's right. Standing in line at the bowling alley, waiting for a pinball table and chit-chatting in the quad, That's true. You should be there.
As a fucking horrible idea. I love you anyway, Duke.
The good news
This was Duke's idea, right? But I will warn people, if you are joining us on the PS Triple this Sunday, 6 p.m. GMT time, in home, please make sure you download home beforehand, because it will be a total disaster, because it will take 5 hours to download, and every room has to download. So going to home beforehand, going to every room, and then on Sunday you'll be ready to go.
Yes, but also prepared for a mass session of griefing, because I'm pretty sure that's all you guys are going to do.
Oh, yeah, we're just going to be following people around, calling them names, dancing in front of them. That's what we're
doing. Special guest, Chad Warden.
So it's going to be a game of Fable 3. I like it. Yeah. All right. So happy birthday this week to Cool Chris, Calixtus 40, W Rules, and Junior. And welcome to new members, AP Stevens, Veritas Quo, Tainted Morals, Kudmorrow, and Buff Beef Broth, which is like strong.
Buff Beef Broth, and that's tough to say.
Strong beef stew that's been lifting weights. I like it. Okay. Yes.
Awesome.
Awesome.
What more do you have to say to that other than awesome? I mean, really, can you add more than just awesome?
There's nothing else to say.
No, other than awesome. Actually, we could say this. If you wanted to email the show, Mr. Matthew, where would you send that email to?
You would send that email to our email address,
which
is ocpodcast@gmail.com. I was having a serious like mental blockage there. I was about to start talking about overseas at couchmercenaries.net, and I knew that was wrong, but it was just stuck like a record player with a stuck needle. A record player chain
used to
have these wax discs. And you had a needle.
I had a record player. I said, like JFK then. I had a record player. So, I had a record player.
For the sake of saying, to
make sure it's clear, the email address for the show is ocpodcast@gmail.com. Not any other BS I just said. ocpodcast@gmail.com.
And not to make you feel bad, Chris, but I do put that email in our notes just so you don't make that mistake.
Yeah, you caught me off guard because, see, Duke threw out the catnip for Matthews. He gave me a new website to buy cheap stuff, so I was checking it out.
You know, we could talk about the whole Twitter thing, I suppose. Mr. Primrose, you were feeling jilted that the tweets weren't in the notes, so hey, I put them in there for you.
I wasn't jilted. I know it off by heart. Anyway, at Josie wait to interrupt me there, Chris. Yes, at @OC_podcast is the Twitter.
Yeah, because you're 50 miles away from your microphone.
He is. He's on the other half of the room.
He's in the backyard talking to a megaphone. He's got one of those.
Chris is doing push-ups.
Systems. Yes,
the podcast is rapidly going downhill. iTunes and Zune reviews, please, if you would like to send us a review and talk about us sleeping, talk about us not making sense, any of the above, we certainly would appreciate it, just like Mr. Dr. Crawmad did for us earlier.
Just don't review this show because it's crap.
Yeah. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Videos are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, VGHub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.
Smurf herding.
Smurf herding indeed. Mr. Primrose.
Get that clip, Primrose. You don't deserve to be in there.
Oh, Rich, start us off. Shout outs. Let's go.
I'm just going to shout out Dave Dog, because rumour has it that he's getting back into podcasting. And,
Dave Dog.
Play Vault. Nice. Play Vault. John Mile 5.
Mm. Dave. I've met Dave. Might have met Dave, Rich.
Get them involved with VG Hub, don't
you? I never met him. No, I wasn't there.
You met him?
No,
I'll tell you my story about meeting Dave, right? Now, if Dave's listening, I love Dave. I really do. I think he's a lovely guy. I saw, me and Stu.
Dave, this is prep. This is prep for an insult, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to insult you. But I insult everybody, right?
Uh-huh.
And please, feel free to insult me. Right. Chris, really? Right, so, me and Stu are queuing up for Gears of War 3. And Stu's going on about how graphics are great or whatever. And I see this guy wearing a Red Dead Redemption t-shirt. And I kind of thought that he looked like a Red Indian. Right? Because, you know, he just kind of looked like a Red Indian. I don't know why he looked like a Red Indian. And he just stuck with me. This guy looked like a Red Indian. And I was like, oh, he looks kind of weird. I didn't say anything to Stu. And then Riggy Diggy Dan from the BGM show came over and he says, hey, Chin. And he was with the Red Indian. Right? I was like, who the hell's that? And he went, this is Dave. I was like, no way. And I said, I saw him earlier. But Dave's a funny guy.
So should he change his gamer tag then to Dave the Red Indian?
Dave the Red Indian, he should.
Dave the Red Indian Dog.
Yeah. UK.
Yeah.
Sure.
UK.
Yeah.
16692. Yeah, so I like Dave. I think he's funny. Yeah. Funny guy. I didn't get to meet him for very long, but a funny guy.
Rich, would you like to continue your shout-outs?
Shout out to WhatsApp. Oh, it's great. 59p, best money I ever spent.
Hey, you got it working.
Yeah, job done.
It is awesome. Because now we can text over the Atlantic.
Sending, plenty of audio coming your way in the middle of the night, Gregus.
I was doing that the other day, wasn't I? I was sending you like audio clips of me. I was just bored because I was editing a video, and I was like, I'll send Greg some audio clips.
I'm going to start taking my phone into the bathroom with me. You're going to be getting some nasty-ass pictures.
Look at that one, right around the U-pen.
It's terrible.
It is.
It's terrible.
Sorry, 59
really,
Peugeot.
Well,
worth it. Primos, did you want to finish?
No, that's it. Job done. Mike.
What?
Shout
exactly.
Yeah, shout outs. I did have one. Oh, what was it? Jesus, no. Can't think of it. Sorry.
Done. CPM.
Sorry, whoever that. Hold on. No, I got it. Wait. I've got to go on my friends list to find out who it is.
All right, well.
Right, so, shout out to... Oh, come on, he's got to be offline, isn't he? Shout out to... Well, I'm getting there. Blue Hellman. Yeah. Blue Hellman. And also shout out to Dazza71 UK, who hasn't added me yet. And Greasy Fishlips, because he had to go on the Battlefield playdate that we did last week. And thanks to everybody who turned up to the Battlefield playdate. The Veteran Gamers last Sunday. It was a lot of fun. We played some Vietnam. It was good. But Greasy Fishlips had to go because his missus was going on like that.
It happens.
Saying la 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 la.
Yeah.
We feel your pain, Greasy Fishlips. It's fine. Yeah.
Coming over with a baby. It's pooing everywhere.
Speaking of going on, Mr. Matthew.
Yes. I'm going to shout out the Duke of Scath for throwing movie quotes at me without telling me what the answer is. So now I'm going to have to try to look it up. And it's going to be very hard to look up 37. Because
do it properly,
it's not
though.
Very specific.
37?
37? Yeah. So thanks for taking me away from what I should be doing, which is getting ready for a class tomorrow. And that's really it. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see, shout-outs for me. A big shout-out to all the Gate members that participated in the Shift 2 play date last Saturday. Lots of fun. Marcanix organized it all up. We had David the Alien was out there. Andy Ekstahl was out there. Ordy 84 was out there. I think Parsnip showed up for a few spins. I'm trying to think. There's, a few more people in the lobby that I don't recall the names off the top of my head. But, hey, it was fun. It was fun.
David the Alien, was he there?
He was. He did show up. He did indeed. Yeah. He loves hearing his name, by the way. Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
David the Alien was showed up to the Battlefield thing as well.
Yeah.
And David's voice is really monotone.
Yeah, I completely picture David differently than I'm sure the way he looks.
He's just like, I know he worked in a surf place for a while. And anyway, he's just really monotone voice.
That actually kind of almost fits now. Now I'm getting a different mental image, and it's actually kind of working.
And there's some people coming over the hill, and I just imagine him in a real war, right? Yeah, you know, he's just like, there's some people coming over the hill. We should probably get those guys. Yeah, that's it. That's how there is.
I'm really, stone cold killer.
Yep.
This is the best moment of my life right now. I'm so angry right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Dave. One tone. That's him.
Boom.
I love Dave.
Done.
He's funny as hell.
Dave is funny.
Bueller.
So that's pretty much it. I got a quick little tidbit for you. It's a nice little this is a note off of page one of an article in the Sunday New York Times. Right. So, you know,
squeeze
page
me.
One, it's okay. You're okay. I mean, are you okay? Was that like a hairball?
No.
It did sound like a hairball.
It did. And he does have a cat. Yeah. I know this.
I've got the cat stuck down my throat.
All right. Page one of an article, note, Sunday New York Times, said this. Continued on page one.
Nice.
That's it. We're done. We're out of here.
Wow.
Jeez. Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3. This is where the music goes. Dun, 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 dun. But we don't hear that because that's done in post, people. Breaking the fourth wall. Number four.
Where did Primrose go? What the hell?
He's in his sleeping bag. I heard him Velcro up.
Oh, okay. I suppose, yeah, we could. What were you saying now?
I'll say.
Go ahead and delete out what you need to delete out off that.
I was saying that my dog loves vegetables.
Your dog does indeed love asparagus.
The other day, this was like 2 years ago, I was getting dinner ready, and I had two full crowns of broccoli on the counter, and I turned my back for like a second, and they were gone, and the dog was laying on his back, just farting and belching. I was like, you bastard.
Thursdays, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so late, man. I can't stay up as late as these cats.
Speaking of which, we got a pretty funny iTunes review.
Was that it, Greg? Just a cough?
Yeah.
Was the doctor grabbing your testes, asking you to, you know, cough?
We got a UK one.
I don't think I can talk to you anymore, Mr. Matthew.
A UK doctor grabbing his testes?
Yes.
Yes. It's the special doctor that Mike met.
No, I pulled the UK one for us, so it's in the notes.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Did you get a chance to watch that video, Chris?
What video?
The Forza video?
No. Would you like me to?
You can. I mean, I don't know if it's still up. I think they pulled it off all of the sites, so...
What was it showing?
Forza.
You are going to die. Yeah. All right, it's 18:30. Do you know where your podcast is? Oh, that is right here. Let's go.
So
I have returned.
Greg's gone now.
Greg is gone.
So Mike.
Shall we start the show without him?
He'll be back in a sec.
Oh, Mike. Yeah,
yes.
Did you finish your porn flick in Dudley?
I read that earlier. Yeah. Well, mate, you don't want to do a porn flick in Dudley. Not unless you're doing some weird niche fetish porn.
Dudley Moore. I did a porn flick in Dudley Moore. Mm.
Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. Someone's in the kitchen, I know.
This is a clip for the outtakes. This is a clip for the outtakes. Outtakes.
So apparently we got a review that talked about Rich falling asleep. I think I fall asleep sometimes too.
So. No, yeah, but you've never actually been asleep.
Mm.
But we've had both Riches fall asleep on the show. That was the
same
past.
The same show.
Same
show. But you don't interrupt the podcast by answering a question that was half an hour before.
We
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
Right,
it's like, what's up, but app. Get it?
I get it.
Greg's on for commission. That's what it is. He gets you to download it and then just leaves you high and dry.
What's it cost?
It'll get back to you in a week.
Nothing.
My search had no results.